listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Okay, 120 FM Talk 106.5. Just a... Let me use this 50,000-watt FM radio station as a two-way communication device just through a wall here between Dalton and I. A fire truck just came through Dalton, too. So I don't know if that had to do with the... If y'all were just joining us, I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, it's not odd that MPD is working around our radio station. I mean, not specifically, but here at Airport and I-65, it seems to be a hotbed of goings-on. But they just had a full... Like the arrest that would be in the third segment of the TV show Cops, where they put the best arrest of the night, that one just kind of went down in our parking lot here. But yeah, Dalton, I just saw the fire truck. I don't know what that means. I do know this. I know my buddy Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News is joining us to talk about a whole bunch of things. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. How hot is it down there?
Come on, man. It's, you know, you know what? It's probably worse where you are. You want to play that game? So I would say let's you do your little refresh thing here.
Well,
you're in Montgomery, right?
We don't get a sea breeze.
So. Right. So let's see. You want to play that game? We are at 95 degrees. Feels okay. Like 96. Thunder in the vicinity is what it says. How about you?
I think it's about that, 94, 95, but it feels about like 115.
Don't play games with me, man. You know, we can hold our own down here. I want to get into some state politics, but I got to tell you, the hangover is still strong from like five segments worth of talking about Judge Brett Kavanaugh and the allegations, and you have such savvy into how things work, you know, at a state level and in Washington. When he has a categorical denial, I think it makes the discussion at one point not as interesting, but then on another leg, even more interesting, because the if he would have said, well, this happened, but it was interpreted differently, then people could say, well, what is the level, what is the standard for a juvenile indiscretion versus somebody, you know, 40 years later, you know, going for confirmation for the top court in the land, versus now we're looking at a pretty much either this Blasey is completely, this Dr. Blasey has completely made this up, or Brett Kavanaugh is completely lying. I mean, that's one of them. I mean, one of them is telling a story here.
Well, you're right, and that's what's. I mean, that will be the question that, you know, I suppose needs to be answered. But and you're right. It's a significant, you know, thing for him to do, to categorically and, you know, without any reservation, right, to deny this took place. But, you know, my thing is just knowing the process a little bit and knowing that there were appropriate avenues, there was an appropriate process to adjudicate these matters. You know, we see the public hearings on TV. You know, we see the stories written, all the cameras and lights. But you got to remember that behind closed doors process to the nomination as well. You know, there are private testimonies. There are, you know, senators-only meetings that occur between the nominee and the senators. And a lot of that is intended to go over matters that are really sensitive, just like this. And the fact that Senator Feinstein, you know, chose to sit on this, not bring it through that process, you know, I know she has her reason. She says it was, you know, there was a request for privacy and all this, but at the end of the day, it was clearly the process was clearly flawed. I mean, they did not, the Democrats on this committee did not abide by the regular normal process, and now they're, you know, screaming bloody murder, saying, you know, we got to stop the entire nomination from going forward. When really it's them, it's Feinstein who you know, botched this from the very beginning. So that's what bothers me, is that there is a way that this is supposed to be handled, where, you know, once it's out in the public, once we all know about this allegation of, you know, sexual assault or whatever you want to call it, everybody has an opinion about that. The people who want him, you know, think it's not true. The people who want him to fail think it's absolutely true. Once it's out there, you know, it's very hard to control. That's why you have a private process where they investigate and ask questions and do all this behind closed doors. So they should, they should really be ashamed that they've mm-hmm. allowed this process to get out of hand.
Right, and it has, and now, there's not going to be a concrete answer before the members of the Senate have to vote to confirm or not confirm. I mean, this is... And, it'll be on the trash heap of accusations, too, which, I'm one of those weirdos that the 3% that I would like to see, politically, I'd like to see Judge Brett Kavanaugh confirmed to the Supreme Court, not because I agree with everything, but generally to me, that's that's a better move for the Supreme Court. But at the same time, I want to know the truth, even if the truth turns out to not benefit Kavanaugh, so I can say, well, you got to find somebody else. I mean, I know there maybe 3.8% of the American people are like that, can support somebody, but want to make sure that they're supporting the right person.
Absolutely. I'm in that category, too. Character matters to me. If this was a true allegation, if it was proven true, yeah, that'd matter to me. It'd matter a lot. I mean, there are circumstances, but you certainly want to...
Well, if he's lying right now, you know what I'm saying? That's what matters
absolutely.
To me. I mean, we could dig into what happened or didn't happen back in 1983, but if he is knowing in his mind that this thing went down and he categorically denied it and somehow that was proven, then that would say a whole bunch to me. I mean,
then
I would be
toast.
Out. I'd be out.
Yeah.
I'd be out. But I couldn't support
you can't
him.
Do that. It's toast. If there's credible... evidence that comes forward. I who knows if there's going to be. But another thing is this, no matter how it ends, no matter, I agree with you, it's probably not going to be proven either way, for absolute certainty. But it's really damaging to the institution, the process of confirmations. I mean, you can go back to Bork and really see the deterioration of that process over the last couple of decades. But right here, man, this is a flashpoint. This is we are going to regret this, because how do you now go and assess character? You've got this guy who, as you were just saying, by all accounts, has wonderful character. Mm-hmm. But all you have to do is pull out an accusation at the last minute to convince half the country that he's awful. And now every Supreme Court rule, let's say he's on the court. Every Supreme Court ruling that he rules on is going to be doubted by half the country who thinks he's a, sex criminal. So it's a really damaging, what's happened here is incredibly damaging and toxic to the Supreme Court nomination and confirmation process.
Just joining us, talking to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. Let's talk a little bit, and we've got a minute or two here before the break, and then we'll come back with more on this. But looking through the newsletter this morning, and by the way, the graphic, fantastic, 1970s called, and they want their bus back. As you have the picture up here of Maddox Kicks Off bus tour. That is a groovy bus, my friend. But yeah, talk to me about Maddox on the road now, his bus tour. They said, at least 35 stops through the state? That's leaving some counties out, man.
It is. I've 67 counties might be tough. I know that the 35, it's probably just hitting the high points trying to go to population centers. Another thing is you don't want to show up to a crossroads in Wilcox County and nobody show up. So, but it actually looks pretty ambitious to me. I mean, it looks pretty serious, pretty ambitious bus tour. He wants to get out there and, generate excitement, generate a lot of media coverage. That's what bus tours are good for. It gives a local media, whether it's print or TV, something to cover. You show up in a bus, the local TV is going to put it on the evening news, mm-hmm. and the local paper is going to put it on the front page the next day, because it's just kind of a visual and it's exciting. So it's a good tactic for challengers who need to kind of generate that media excitement and media coverage. But we'll see. We'll see how successful it is.
Well, that's just he could get in the Wienermobile, right? He could get in the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and pull into town and get a lot of attention. But he needs attention, but... He needs a lot of attention. I've heard so many different polls. You have a better handle on that up in Montgomery, kind of getting a average of them. Where do you see this? I've heard polls that have Governor Ivey leading by 20-some-odd percent. I've heard of ones that have Governor Ivey leading by a lot less. Where do you have any faith in any of that?
Yeah, I've seen some with her right at 20 to 25. The highest one I've seen is her at about 60% to his 35. And honestly, that's about right. Now, he could probably bring her down a little bit. That's probably, you know, I don't know if she's going to end up with 60% of the vote, because that's very high. But the big deal is Maddox himself does not appear to have a lot of support name ID going for him, whereas Kay Ivey has pretty much ubiquitous name ID. So that's his challenge. Nobody knows who he is. So you're right. He needs to get out there and introduce himself.
Well, and we get back from the break, I want to talk more about this, where a couple things. Number one, you know, about endorsements and back and forth, what that means. And number two, this push this week from the Maddox campaign, too, that is, I guess I thought we all took the same civics class here, but trying to make it seem like Governor Kay Ivey is linked to Governor Bentley because she assumed the Blunt Mansion when the old governor had to leave. Like, somehow that was a deal made behind closed doors between Bentley and Ivey. Did they not check out what happens in Alabama when the governor can't fulfill the job? Is that, I mean...
Well, you got me, but yeah, we should talk about it. Okay. I think a lot of this is bull.
Yeah, there you go. Good. Well, come back more with Todd Stacey, because, I mean, like I said yesterday, I know I ranted about it, but it is frustrating when something that should be... This is not partisan politics, y'all. This is just knowing how the state works. Like, if a governor's being forced out, he's going, he doesn't say, all right, and I'll tell you who I'd like to be governor after me. It doesn't work that way. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. We continue our conversation with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And the nice addition is to have what's important in Alabama that you need to know before you get your day started delivered, ding, or whatever your tone is on your email, into your inbox every morning. Todd, tell folks how they can do that.
That's right. Yeah, it's aldailynews.com. You can subscribe right there on the homepage. You just click the button that says subscribe, enter your email and your name, and you'll be signed up to get my daily news digest. Comes out about 8 o'clock every day, and what I do is run down the day's top stories, explaining kind of what's going on in whether it's Alabama politics or out of D.C., especially how it concerns Alabama. You know, sometimes there's a lot that happens in Washington that trickles right down here to Alabama, and so explaining both is kind of our specialty. But we've got headlines from around the state, news briefs, and front pages, so just kind of a good way to get your day started. It takes you about 5 minutes to read it, and you can choose which stories to go, you know, go deeper in and all that. So, yeah, you can sign up right there on the homepage. It's aldailynews.com.
All right. I want to talk about, we're talking about the Maddox bus. I was going to, it's not the Gus bus here, the Wally bus or whatever we're going to call it. Touring around the state, stumping here, trying to get some name brand against the sitting governor of the state. There's a name issue. There's also a letter issue, right? R versus D. I mean, what happened in the Senate special election, I don't think, and I've talked to national sources, so they, you know, wanted to quote me in stories, and they keep saying this is a sign of a blue wave. I said, I do see Democrats at some point, if nothing changes in the next 10 to 15 years, maybe returning to some offices in the state. But for right now, if you think what happened in that Senate special between Jones and Moore is reflective on what happens in the gubernatorial, I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. And, you know, who knows how long it's going to last, but, I mean, I think we're in a generational shift right here where Republicans are just going to have an advantage. You know, it started really in the 60s, but maybe really manifested itself in the 80s where Republicans just have an advantage. There's just more Republicans than Democrats. And so any just given race, you know, you're going to have a Republican advantage. Now, look, you're going to have outlier campaigns. You're going to have the Doug Jones victory. There are a lot of reasons why Doug Jones is a senator right now and why that was a special case. But, you know, remember that the last governor to be elected as a Democrat was Don Siegelman in 1998, and he did not get reelected. He was defeated by Bob Riley in 2002. That's 30 years. That's 20 years ago. You know, that's 20 years ago that the last Democrat won statewide election for governor. So that's just a lot of history to be back against. Another thing is that Republicans more and more are voting straight ticket. You know, we have that ability in Alabama to vote straight ticket. I was talking to a national reporter the other day who didn't understand that. And I said, look, when you got one race on the ballot, Doug Jones, Roy Moore, you know, nobody votes straight Republican. You know, you were literally voting for the man. But when it comes to a slate of candidates and there's no real outlier that's, you know, a really controversial candidate like a Roy Moore, then people are going to vote that straight ticket. And so that puts any Democrat at a big disadvantage. The irony is, Sean, that the Democrats enacted that a long time ago when they ruled the roost to make sure that people did the exact opposite, to let them vote straight ticket Democrats. So it's their own policy there that is kind of coming back to bite them.
Yeah, and let that be a lesson, y'all. When things are happening now and they'll say, well, Republicans need to do this and put this into effect, I said, remember, the sword you sharpen now may cut you later. So they're seeing it.
That's exactly right.
I mean, that's, you just make sure, because the pendulum will swing. All right, I'm looking at the bus tour here, and we have first time in our area for the Maddox bus is going to be this Friday, coming to Mobile, and then something on Saturday as well. So when just to help me here, when Walt Maddox comes to town, and he lays out the planks of his platform, which ones are going to be 2x4s, which are going to be 2x8s, you know what I'm saying? Which ones are going to be pieces of 4x8 plywood? What are the big parts of the platform?
Well, Walt Maddox wants to talk about Medicaid expansion. He wants to talk about how if Alabama would, raise taxes, invest in Medicaid expansion, that we could pump a lot more into hospitals and health care. He argues that'll grow the economy a lot and save rural hospitals. He's kind of right about that. It's just it's going to take a lot of money. Sure, would the economy be better, be improved if we dumped, $1 billion into it in healthcare costs? Yeah, absolutely. But somebody's got to pay for that. And that's where, the issue of tax increases come up.
I mean, I don't know how you get that when things like, I'm not starting a separate conversation, we can have this in another show, but when the idea of increasing anything on the gas tax, which is, in my mind, a use tax versus a punishment tax, one that, at least in the world of taxation, makes sense, when that stands no chance in Montgomery, how some billion-dollar pay, I don't know how he thinks that, even if he was elected, where is he going to get traction with that?
Well, in some places in rural communities, I think he may get some traction because there are hospitals closing. That is a real issue. But even in those areas, people aren't 100%, don't 100% believe that we should raise taxes and expand Medicaid. You know, even in places where we identify this as an issue, are not going to be unanimous in supporting tax increases to solve it. What that can be helpful in, what his Medicaid plank can be helpful in, is driving Democratic turnout. You know, Democrats believe in that. It's a core issue for them. So the fact that he's committed to it allows them to really push out the Democratic vote. But of course, the other, his main plank, and the one that he should talk about more, is his plan for a lottery.
I'm waiting for you to say it, because you are spot on. Of course you are correct, but that's where we are. That's how we decide who would be running the state, is the lottery. Go ahead, though. I'm sorry. I'm just...
Well, it's just... It's popular.
It right? is. I mean, you're correct. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just going... I'm shaking my head. Not that I'm anti-lottery. I believe we should have a referendum as well, but just like that's the only thing, that's the biggest thing in our state.
Yeah, that's what you got. Well, I think the way I see it is, yes, it's a very popular idea, and because it's very popular and it has remained so, I think it's very likely the issue will get, I think it's very likely we'll have a lottery within 2 or 3 years, no matter who is governor. I don't think Kayabe is necessarily opposed to a lottery. I think a lot of people have been over the years, but the fact that I think we're only one of three states now without a lottery, so I mean, at a certain point it becomes kind of economical. But the interesting thing about it is the governor has nothing to do with it. The bill, should it pass, would not even see the governor's desk. It would go directly to the people for a vote on a ballot. So you've got to have support in the legislature anyway. What a governor kind of plays in that process is really being a cheerleader, being a pusher of whatever plan it is. And so that's what's kind of interesting to me. Let's say somehow Walt Maddox gets elected governor, and he is up against a Republican legislature. Do you think they're going to go with his lottery plan, or do you think they're they may give it a vote and just as out of courtesy and set it aside? No, they're going to do their own thing, which I think is pretty likely anyway. Despite all that, look, he's doing what he should do. It's a popular issue. He should run on it. What I'm interested to see is how Kay Abbey responds. She has said, look, I don't have a problem. We can have a vote of the people, fine with me. That's a good way to sort of take the issue off the table.
But as people aren't acting like it, they're still acting like it's the old line where Republicans are against it and Democrats are for it. And I would point out that I think Governor Ivey changed her tune, or at least let her tune be heard during the primary, right? Wasn't it Tommy Battle that was not just pro-referendum but pro-lottery, and that kind of forced her into position to give some comment here? Because, I mean, the easy way to go in Alabama to have your cake and eat it too is just not say anything, but she was kind of forced into that in the primaries.
Yeah, she was. And it was, I think it was the right move, because, again, it never even reaches her desk, And so, and the political calculus on that has changed dramatically in let's say, 8-10 years. It used to be that if you were a Republican in a suburban district, and they'd throw you out for supporting any kind of gambling, especially in lotteries too. That's changed now. Maybe they don't really gung-ho support it, but they're not going to throw you out for supporting a vote of the people. So I see it as something that's probably coming. I think you're in this next legislative term, you're going to see proposals that have to do with just lottery, just sports gambling, just casino gambling, and some that have maybe combined them all. It's a big question to work out, but again, Republicans are the ones in control, and the governor, can try to guide that wherever she wants it to go, or whoever it is, but it's the legislature in the driver's seat.
But the idea, and talk about Walt Maddox and the push here for the Medicaid expansion, I mean, part of that discussion has been, we can use lottery revenue to do that. You just pointed out, not only, I think, one of the last three, or I think it's four states, I'll have to go back and research it, that don't have a lottery, even though I think some of those states have other forms of gambling. But if we're the last one in, we are completely surrounded by states that have either lottery or, every other sort of gambling out there. I mean, we're the last ones in. The revenue projections that the Alabama lottery is going to solve every ill of the state, I think, are disingenuous. They're silly. I mean, we're going to have a lottery and then we'll have money for everything. Heck, we'll still have the issues of earmarking. We'll still have the issues of misspending going on, even if there's additional revenue. And I don't think the numbers will be as high, because it's not like we're going to be drawing people from Georgia or Tennessee or Florida to come in here and buy lotto tickets.
Oh, Sean, you're exactly right. And it's not, that's not just a theory. That's been proven to be true. They did that in Georgia. They did it in Tennessee. I think Florida was the first one to pass it a long time ago. It was promised as, look how much money we're going to have for everything. And if you look at the Georgia model, they had to cut back significantly. They've had problems where, it's only the middle and upper class kids that are getting these college scholarships, which, It's not their parents buying the lotto tickets. So it is not a silver bullet by any means, and I can't stand the way it's often sold like that. If we want to have a lottery and think very carefully about what it pays for, be honest about the revenue it's going to generate, what that should pay for. I know they're talking about education, but maybe education's not the biggest need. Maybe it's roads. Maybe it is health care.
But you know why they do that, right? They do it for
education.
It's education because it's for the children. Todd, it's for the children. Don't you love children? And once again, let me go back. I'm somebody who would vote yes to have a referendum in the state on the lottery. I want for the liberty of the people. But I am not a fool to look past the... Oh, it's for the kids, Sean. If you don't support it, you're not for kids. And that's the way it gets sold. Even I would like it to say, hey, it's going in the general fund. What do you think, Todd? We'll do an experiment here. We get a time machine. We get that DeLorean from Back to the Future. And we can run one campaign for the lottery in Alabama where it's for the kids. It's for children. It's for education. Then we get to run it again. It's for infrastructure. Then we get to run it again. It's for Medicaid. And then we get to run it again. It goes to the general fund. Now, do you think the outcome of a lottery would be the same in all those scenarios?
Well, I think the education thing is a lot more popular.
Well, sure, it is. Still a lottery, though. I mean, why do we're so obsessed with where the money goes? We could sell crack, right? I mean, the state could sell crack cocaine and make money for schools, right? And we can give that money to the schools.
Yeah, and I agree. And you can run ads with little children on them and say, why can't we just help these kids? And that's what it is. And you feel, if you're going to do something that, like gambling, that is, I don't know, maybe you get a little guilt about that. It makes it a lot easier if you think, well, this is actually going to help people. This is going to the kids. So, yeah, I agree with you. I actually think that education, we've been growing our revenues lately. The need is probably healthcare. Why not put, money in Medicaid and perhaps that's a little, more actually meeting a need with this lottery. But you're right. That would probably never pass.
No, you got to have some children involved. You got to have maybe the Medicaid Children Fund or something. The children have to be involved. People's opinion about something and how they would vote on the activity is not in the logical realm. It's all feels, and it's, I feel for the children, so therefore I'll pass this thing. How about passing it based on the liberty of the people to be able to part with their money? It's never done that way.
That's right.
Oh, well.
That's right. But when it happens, and it will happen, it'll come up, and I don't know if it'll be this next session or maybe the one after that, but it'll come, and you've got to watch the money because it's not even the in-state money. I mean, sure, you've got plenty of gambling entities here in the state, but it's going to be the outside folks. You've got to the people that make the machines, that print the tickets, that run these sort of lottery businesses. They're going to put a lot of money into campaigns and into public awareness campaigns. It's going to really get intense. So we got to be very clear about it. What are we doing this for? If we're going to put, basically tax poor Alabamians, what are we going to do with that money? Let's be honest about it. Let's be transparent about what the needs are and what we're doing with the money.
There he is. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And right there, they can sign up for the newsletter, right, on the website?
That's right. aldailynews.com. Sign up, and you'll hear from me every day. I encourage you to get subscribed. It's all free.
All right. Great stuff as always, man. We will check back soon. Todd, thanks for being on.
Okay. Thanks, Sean.
All right. Coming right back. We will, I'll make some more lottery analogies that are completely insensitive. And I'm just pointing out, I like children. I got a couple of them in my house. Just make sure we have our eyes open. And I'm actually for people voting on the lottery. But let's be honest. Montgomery, be honest.